have one. There's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. Also, you can use your phone. I use the Life Bible or the Takarta app. I like it. It's the blue one with the cross. But anyone that that works for you is great. Please. I like the way it reads it to me when I'm driving. I can listen to the Bible. Somebody read it to me. Or if you're working out or you're working in the yard, you can listen to it. It's a blessing. In the book of Hosea, as we're kind of wrapping up this entire series as I've preached through the 14 chapters, you're going to find that people in the Bible are just like people today. They struggle with the same kinds of problems. Oh, I admit they don't have the internet. They don't have scams through internet and email, but they still have people trying to lie to them, people trying to cheat them, people trying to lead them astray, take advantage of them, just like we do today. People are people no matter where they are or when they lived. People are people. And Israel is at a time in its history where it is poised to be destroyed. The Assyrian army is poising itself to come and invade and take over the northern kingdom. As you recall, the Hosea takes place after the split between the northern and southern tribes. Solomon's son and his leadership caused the nation to split, but it was really a consequence of Solomon's sin. You just have to read it there in Kings and Chronicles. But anyhow, Hosea has been preaching to them this whole time. The crazy thing about Hosea is, as you remember, and it's just for the new folks, just going to recap, Hosea had to live this message so he could preach this message. Hosea went and married a woman who went back into adultery after they had three children together. She ran off back into adultery, back to her old lifestyle, and the whole city knew it, and for decades he lived it. And then God called Hosea to go back to the slave market. Now that she's older and her life is basically all used up, her beauty is gone. And God says, I want you to buy her back and I want you to make her your wife again. And this was an illustration of what God would do with the nation of Israel. In chapter 1 of Hosea, and in verse 2, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said, Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and a children of whoredoms. Why? For the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. As you know, Israel had believed the lies of the surrounding nations that they looked like they were being prosperous. They looked like they were the ones being advanced. And it must be because of their values and what they put first and their false gods. And so why don't we try it? And they tried to keep a foot in both worlds and it just doesn't work. And God saw Israel as like an adulterous wife following after false gods. You know, the question, as you read Hosea, you keep asking yourself, do I put God first? Am I loyal? Would God consider me a loyal, faithful part of His family? I mean, God's Word teaches us to put Him first, right? I mean, He says that Christ would have the preeminence, that God and our relationship to Him should trump everything else. And I mean, God isn't, I mean, I know every one of us, you're here today, so God is obviously on your list, right, of things that are important in your life. But God is just not satisfied with being on the list. He wants to be on top of the list. Because Israel had him on the list the whole time. But he kept falling down and farther in priority. Now, as we've seen in previous messages, that all sins, they start in the heart because we've believed a lie. We have believed a lie either about God or about ourselves or about our situation or what God should do or God shouldn't do. And many times when you're having a conversation with somebody, it's important that you understand how they view God and life. Before you just try to tell them, well, this is what the Bible says and you need to thus and so. No. It's called the paradigm. You need to ask, how is it they see things? Have you ever been fooled by a first impression? We all have. That's because we can't see people's hearts. Have you ever been fooled by a situation? you thought one thing, but then turned out to be another. One night I was driving down Route 180 there in Illinois, and they were doing construction, and they were laying down new asphalt, but it wasn't striped. So I saw the cones pushing me out of this lane, and I saw this what looked like beautiful black new asphalt, and I pulled my car over, and it turned out it was where they dug out. You know, I had misinterpreted the whole situation and found myself in a mess. And Israel has completely misinterpreted the situation they're living in. And they've completely misinterpreted what God was doing and what was true. And they're on the verge of a mess. You know, all sin starts from that believing a lie about things. You know, it's one of the commandments, the 10th commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness. I mean, lying seems to be a part of life for a lot of people. Sometimes it seems easier. The Bible says in Colossians 3:9, lie not one to another, seeing we have put off the old man. We're to speak truth with every man, because lies are for the purpose of deception. But it seems to be a universal condition. And you kind of almost... I don't trust text messages anymore, hardly, right? If they're not in my phone, how are you doing today? Block. You know what I'm saying? I do, don't you? Hey, who's this in my phone? And I'm like, 615. I don't know who. No. I did have one dude call me. I called him. I had a dude call me from a 703 number, and he goes, who's this? And I said, well, this is Pastor Mix from First Baptist Kingstown. How may I help you? And he goes, why is your phone number written on my wall? And I'm like, I don't know. Where is this wall at? I live in Burke. And I said, well, sir, I don't know anybody in Burke. Now I do now, praise the Lord. But back then I didn't. He goes, well, why wouldn't you, why would somebody, I can assure you, sir, I didn't write it there. So I said, you know, God doesn't make any mistakes. Let me ask you a question. Do you know the Lord is your Savior? He said, well, listen, I obviously it's a mistake. That somebody must have wrote it down for some other reason, blah, 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 blah. We're actually one number off from Allstate. I didn't know if any of you knew that. My number's one number off Allstate. But anyway, I gave him the gospel. He told me he was saved, what have you. But I put him in my phone as random guy because he would never give me his name. Life, we misinterpret things. Why would somebody write my... I don't know why somebody write my name on your wall, but they did. I think God did it. Have you ever completely misinterpreted what's going on, only to find out you're not... You have to make an adjustment. Israel was believing a lie. You know, Satan got us all into this mess by tempting our first parents, Adam and Eve, with a lie about God's character. And last week, we looked at a lot of the lies that people believe about God. See, Eve had listened to the lie. She had nursed it. She had dwelt on it and rehearsed it in her mind. And then she believed it and she acted upon it, and it brought the whole human race into bondage. Israel, at this time in their history of Hosea, had listened to a lie, had dwelt on a lie, kind of nursed it and rehearsed it, and it became their reality. They acted upon it, and now they're getting ready to go into bondage. I think some of the most dangerous lies we hear are the ones that we tell ourselves. The Bible says in James 1:22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You think to yourself, I don't deceive myself. It happens. The problem is we don't always see ourselves the way God does. We don't view the world around us the way God does. And we tend to prioritize things based on ourself as the standard of what's right or what should be done or how things should be done. And we kind of make decisions based on how we view things and my passions, my beliefs, my needs, my desires, my vision, my goals, my. Are you catching the theme? Well, you ever get offended? You got offended because you thought things should have went differently than had you viewed them or how you saw them. We easily deceive ourselves because we have a tendency to hear a lie about ourselves, whether it's from the devil or our own insecurities, and we nurse it by rehearsing it and now we believe it about ourselves. In Hosea, we saw last week how that they believed certain lies about God, that God wasn't good, or that God doesn't love them, or that God is just like an angry father, or that God is not really enough, or that God's ways are too restrictive. Do you remember that? Or that God should step up and fix my problems, that God should relieve me from the consequences of my bad choices. In Hosea chapter 12 and verse 1, the Bible says, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. As you go through the book of Hosea, you can see they're acting on something that's not true. And they've been warned. Hosea's ministry, we assume, is somewhere between 40 and 50 years of prophesying that they're straying from God, that what they're doing and what they're believing are wrong, and God hasn't changed, and God still loves them, and that God would always take them back. And they were thinking, no, I'm seeing these people prosper, and we're not as much as I think we should. I see them doing better than I see myself doing or how I should be doing. And so I'm going to follow after what they're doing. Even though God said, you know, as long as I continue to, you know, pray to the Jehovah, but then, you know, I'll also sacrifice to this over here, and I'll also show homage to this quote unquote God over there, or this value system or whatever, but I'm still a believer here. Somehow I think it ought to work. And God says, no, it's like committing adultery. When he's not first, it's like we're cheating on him. What are some of the lies you tell yourself when you look in the mirror? In the quiet of the dark, you wake up in the middle of the night and you don't actually like yourself. You don't like what you're thinking. Maybe you've heard the lie, I'm not worth anything. You know, Hosea's marriage was a public shame. Here in Hosea chapter 2, he says, say unto your brethren, he's talking to the children, am I, and to the sisters Ruhamah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. She's left me. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. She has gone back down to the temple of Baal to be a prostitute, to because they live such a lavish life. She has run off from me. And his marriage, how do you think he felt? You think maybe there was over those course of 30 years, you assume maybe he'd sit on the edge of the bed and think to himself, I must not be worth anything. I wonder if I'm even called of God to be a prophet. I bet you my ministry's just, it's not really real. Did I make all this up? Did I actually hear the voice of God? Did God actually say, marry her, stay faithful to her? Did he actually say that? Did he mean that? Well, the truth is, my value and your value is not determined by how you feel. Your value to God is not based on what others think of you. Your value as a human being is based on the fact that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God paid the ultimate price for you. If you would think about, you know, you may not be important to that former spouse anymore. You may not be important to that former company or that former position you had, or you may not be important to those friends that you thought were your friends. But you have value because of who you belong to. See, you've been bought with a price. I have value because you belong to God. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, before we even knew him, he died for us. God the Father, before the foundation of the world, saw you saved when you trusted Christ as your Savior. As Jesus hung on the cross and wrestled with the temptation to give up on humanity and not go to the cross, he saw you get saved and thought it was worth it. And the Holy Spirit, the day you trusted Christ, saw you saved when you repented and confessed and believed on Christ. You have value. Israel, I imagine Hosea thought to himself, here I am with these three kids, and I'm not even sure they're mine. But God has called me to be faithful, to preach the truth amid the snickers and the sneers of my community. I have value. In fact, you have more than value. You are a cherished possession and a treasure to our Heavenly Father. That's the truth. And that doesn't matter how you feel or the lies you think to yourself. You do have value. Another lie is well, I need to love myself more. I think the problem is we love ourselves too much. By faith, I need to receive God's love. Do you remember in Romans 8 where it says, neither depth nor height nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things seen, what, can ever separate us from the love of God? Do you realize how much God loves you? Do you realize how loved you are? That the answer is not loving yourself more. It's embracing the love you already have received from an eternal, perfect God who loves you. He wants you to experience His love. Look at Hosea chapter 3 and verse 1. The thing is, as you experience God's love, as you surrender to that truth that He loves us, He will call you to love people. Hosea 3, 1, then said the Lord unto me, go yet. That means do it again. Same woman. Go yet, love a woman, beloved of her friends, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. I want you to go, and I want you to go again. And love is not a feeling we feel, but love is a choice we make. It is a commitment we make for the glory of God and for our good. And he said, I want you to go marry her again. I want you to go take her back unto yourself. And I don't want her to be your servant. And I don't want her to be your slave. I want her to be your wife. This woman you married. This woman who had three kids with you. This woman who run off in adultery. I'm going to take Israel back because I love them like that. And I want you to love your spouse like that. For his glory and our good. God wants me to experience that love and love others with it. In Hosea chapter 1 and verse 2, there's another lie. Maybe you've told yourself this one. I can't help the way I am. Hosea chapter 1 and verse 2. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said, Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms. This is a woman who comes from that background. A woman whose family has worshipped Baal, whose mom probably was a prostitute at the temple. A woman who is expecting to grow up and do the same thing and live that lavish lifestyle. And children of whoredoms. Well, that's the way I was raised. That's the family I come from. You know, if I'm a child of God, I can choose to obey God rather than my traditions. I can choose to obey God rather than my upbringing. I can choose to obey God rather than the cultural norms that are around me. You know, it says in Romans 6 and verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, God separated your sin from you, and you became a special treasure, a son or a daughter of God. And now God is calling you to walk like a prince or a princess, a daughter and son of the King of Kings. He is calling you and I. Well, I don't, you know, the culture doesn't value that. The world around us doesn't value that. Have you bought into the lie? Well, that's just the way I was raised, and, you know, I can't expect no better. God says, no, you are mine. Romans 6 and verse 12, it says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You actually have a choice here. Because the cross of Christ was sufficient to conquer all of our sinful flesh. And through Christ, we've been set free. We no longer have to be slaves to sin. We don't have to live in that lifestyle. Why? Well, that's just who my family is. God is calling us to be His family. Identified by His values and His character. We're no longer slaves to sin. We don't have to sin. And the thing is, we are responsible for our choices. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Have you believed that lie that this is all the way this is the only way I am? I'll never be anything else. See, God has set us free. And that is why he can empower us to love those that are unlovely. And we can forgive those that have done the unforgivable. And we can give thanks for the things in our life that we would never have chosen. But remember, if you and I knew everything God knew, we would have chosen the same things because we know what God knows. Do you believe the lies you hear? You can forgive that parent who hurt you. You can love that difficult colleague. You can give thanks in the midst of your storm. You can be content with that one-bedroom apartment. You can be what God has told you to be through the power of the grace of God. Have you believed the lie? Israel did. They believed the lie. I have rights. I can only imagine how Hosea felt. As everyone snickered and his wife went off into adultery, and he's sitting here going, what about me, Lord? Why am I always the one that's giving? Why am I always the one that's constantly having to forgive? Can you imagine his initial reaction? The truth is, God can empower me. And that having to have it my way is just bondage. What lies do you believe? Why is it so hard to let God be God? I mean, seriously. Why is it so hard to believe that He wants your best? Why is it so hard to believe that He knows what's best? See, the problem is we have bought into a lie that, well, this is how my life's going to go. And I'm going to have 2.5 kids and a dog named Spot and a white picket fence. And I'm going to work and I'm going to have 2.5 cars and I'm going to have a pool and I'm going to have a big riding mower. And this is what my life's going to be, so pretty. And it starts when we're little and we're writing in our notebooks and we're thinking about, this is how I want it to go and this is how it should be. And then all of a sudden life happens. How many of you are living the dreams you had when you were in junior high? Really? So how have you responded to the disappointment? There's a lot of folks, maybe in your family, definitely in my family, who are bitter about the fact that God did not reposition His will to meet their dream. Israel is about to face slavery and destruction. And they think to themselves, I've got rights. Wait a minute, we're God's chosen people. We can live any way we want to, and it'll be okay because we're God's chosen people. Have you believed the lie that outward image is more important than inward godliness? Israel thought, you know, if we just think to ourselves, we're prosperous, we're going to be great, everything's going to be fine, we'll do it our way. And the truth is, as long as we live on this earth, the temporal things will always be temporary. Beauty fades. Money never lasts. Things deteriorate. And what people think of you, what's crazy is we worry about this facade we put on because we're afraid of what they think. And the truth is they really don't think about you as much as you think they think about you, because they're too busy worrying what you think about them. What lies do you believe? Because the Bible says that everything we think, everything we see, everything we believe needs to line up with Scripture. In Isaiah 8 and verse 20, the Bible says, to the law and to the testimony. If it speaks not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. So how does the things you tell yourself line up with Scripture? Well, I shouldn't have to live with unfulfilled longings and desires. Look at Hosea chapter 2 and verse 5. For their mother hath played the harlot, for she conceived them hath done shamefully, for she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, mine oil and my drink. I'm going to run after those people because they're the ones that are actually taking care of me. I don't want to live on a preacher's salary. Why should I have to do without when I see my family living for Baal or Chemosh or Ashtaroth, and look at how they dress and look at the cars they drive and look at how their family eat. I shouldn't have to put up with less. And the truth is, as long as you live on this side of heaven, you will have longings and desires that are never going to be fulfilled, because only God can fulfill them. The deepest longings of our heart can only be fulfilled by God. In Psalm 16:11, the Bible says, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. In Psalm 73 and verse 25, the Bible says, Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that is beside thee. Do you look at the people around you and nurse that false reality of, well, I should have more than they do. I should have this because, you know, I attend a good church, so I shouldn't have problems, and I shouldn't. They seem to be without sickness, and they seem to be without end of their budget. I mean, our budget, we run out of budget before we run out of month, and you think these lies to yourself, and you think something God isn't fulfilling like I should. See, you nurse that, and you rehearse that, and it becomes your reality. Then you start making decisions based on faulty information. You know, there are certain lies Israel told themselves about sin. Take your Bible, turn to Hosea 4. Something along the lines of, it's just a little sin. You know, compared to other people, God ought to be happy to have me. Look at Hosea 4. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there's no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and every one that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fish of the sea also shall be taken away. Let no man strive or reprove another. Don't blame somebody else. You can't sin and win. It's the second universal law. You cannot take fire into your bosom, the Bible says, and not get burned. Well, it's just a little sin. You know, my sins aren't really that bad. You know, the Bible says basically all sin is sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah, well, Romans 6 says, for the wages of sin is death. In James, the Bible says, if you've offended in one point of the law, you've offended in all. You're guilty of all. And we're all sinners. Even the littlest sin, by your comparison, still requires the blood of Christ. Do you believe that lie? That, well, I'm not as bad as they are. You know, God should be happy to have me. Because I'm so special. My sins are just less. The truth is, every sin, no matter how big or how small, is an act of rebellion against God. Well, I know there's some folks that I've counseled in this church that they struggle with the things they've had to do in the name of freedom. God can't forgive what I've done. Do you believe that lie? Are you sitting here tonight? Do you have a battle buddy somewhere who's sitting alone next to a bunch of empty bottles and pills, thinking to themselves, God can't forgive me for what I've done? 22 a day are still dying, believing the lie. The truth is, the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient to cover everything. Everything. And that's why it says you're a new creature now. You're not that person anymore. You're different now. Why? Because the blood of Christ has sufficiently covered everything, past, present, and future. 1 John 1:7 says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hebrews 7 says that he is able to save them to the uttermost. There's no far. You've not gone too far. Do you believe the lie that God can't forgive me? Which lies do you believe? And how are you countering them? Are you just nursing them and rehearsing them? Hosea will live to see Israel dominated. He will see his words of God's truth fall on deaf ears as they chose their own desires over God's. Do you believe that you can live a life of victory? People tell themselves this lie. Well, I don't think I can. I don't think that I can live a consistent life. Oh, I think the good people can. I think there's people down there at the church, you know, the pretty people, the good people. You know those people down at the church. They can live a life of victory. No, you can live a life of victory in Jesus' name if you'll just trust him in what he says. I don't have to be a slave of sin. That's what Romans tells us. We are not the servants of sin. We don't have to let sin reign in our mortal bodies. We can choose to surrender ourselves to righteousness, to choose him. You say, well, God don't put anything on you more than you can handle. That's a lie. God gives you a way of escape. But if you're too dumb, too selfish, too worldly, too sinful, too willful to take the way of escape, well, then you get what you get. But God's grace and the finished work of Jesus Christ, I can be free. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. What is it that you're bound up in today? What is it? You don't have to say it out loud, but I want you to think about it. What is that sin that keeps coming back? What is that besetting thing, that addiction, that habit? Is it anger? Is it unforgiveness? Is it bitterness? Is it porn? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it that flirting with the girl at the office or catching the eye of the guy at the office? What is it that you know it right, but somehow you keep going back? You can have victory. You can have it. It's free. It was paid for by the blood of Christ, and the grace of God can empower you. Hebrews 4, you can get mercy when you mess up, because we do, but also the empowerment called grace. Well, you know, preacher, I just don't have all the time. I don't have enough time in my day to do everything I'm supposed to do that God expects me to do. You have the same 168 hours a week that I do. Did you know that? There's 168 hours in a week. Did you know that? Nobody knew that but me? Okay, 24 times 7. No, I'm serious now. You have the same time everybody else does. The question is, which priorities are at the top of the list? There is a time in every day to do everything God has called you to do. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship. He made us. What? We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You cannot thrive, though, without a consistent daily walk in the Word and prayer. You just can't. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, when confronted by the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In Job 23:12, God said, Job said to God, I have esteemed the word of God more than my necessary food. In Psalm chapter 1, the Bible says that his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You cannot thrive without a daily walk in the Word and in prayer. The lie is, oh, I'll get to it later. I'll get to it later. You know, in Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, God calls that a famine or a drought in your life when you don't have the Word permeating your life. God's word is sufficient to lead you, to teach you, and to heal you. There's a bunch of other ones in here about sex, about marriage in Hosea, about the husband-wife relationship and the expectations of God. The question is, are you listening to the Holy Spirit of God in you with the Word of God in front of you? Or are you listening to the values of what goes on around you? The only thing that dispels the lies of this world and the devil is the truth of God's word. It's the only thing. The Bible says in Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? But by taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. Psalm 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Whatever lie you have bought into, whatever struggle you face, the word of God will free you from it if you'll let it. But I can't make you. And God isn't going to make you. Hosea preached for decades while they snickered and sneered, while they called him old-fashioned and foolish. And if you knew what you thought you knew, Hosea, then why is your wife a prostitute down at the temple of Baal? Some of them probably slept with her. If you knew, if you are so smart, if you think you've got a handle on it, then why is your life falling apart? Because not everything that happens to you is about you. It's about God displaying His glory to those around you. It is God's will that every created creature display His glory. And it's during the sufferings, because our sufferings have a point and a purpose. And it's during those times when your life is off the rails, you are the greatest witness of grace and mercy and provision. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He was whipped 5 times with a cat of nine tails. He was beaten thrice with rods. He was shipwrecked and he was always on the run. And he was so scarred and disfigured from his service to the King of Kings. And when he got that thorn in the flesh with that eye disease, he asked God 3 times to take it away. And God said, no, my strength is sufficient for thee. For in, you know, basically in Paul's weakness, God is shown as strong. Hosea was living a message not for himself. Hosea was living a message for those around him. And the suffering that Hosea went through, God's grace sustained him. God's truth led him. God's spirit comforted him. And now his word is instructing us. What lies are you believing about you? Do you believe you have worth? Do you believe that if you just be a good person, you're going to wake up in heaven? That's a lie. If you believe you join the church, are you going to wake up in heaven? That's a lie. I think this is the greatest church in America. If I thought there was a better one, I'd join it. Right? I think people from First Baptist go to heaven first class. But the truth is, church can't save you. The truth is that whosoever believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and will not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. When did you get saved? When did you believe the truth of the gospel? When did that happen in your life? When did you do that? Thursday night, we had several precious little boys and girls trust Jesus as their Savior. Friday night, we had more trust Jesus as their Savior. Forever changing their future. When did it happen for you? When did you believe the truth? When did you depend on Christ? Where were you? These are the questions, once answered by Scripture, dispel any lies the devil may spin. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. God loves you. Every head bowed. Your age has nothing to do with your value or your usefulness to God. Your marital status has nothing to do with your value, your worth, or your usefulness to God. Your upbringing, your culture, your situation in life has nothing to do with your value, your worth, or your usefulness to the King of Kings. but I can't make you believe it. I can only present you the truth, and God will set you free. Our Heavenly Gracious Father, in the next few moments, I ask God, please, that you put your finger on the lie that is in each person's mind that they have believed and bought into and been deceived by. Help them to see the truth. Help them to see the loving Savior who gave it all for us. Help them to see their value in you because of our Savior's sacrifice. Help them to see, God, and be comforted by the comfort the Holy Spirit brings in the midst of suffering, because they saw how God, you comforted Hosea. And Father, today, the burdens we share, the concerns we have, let them melt away as we get a clear view of you. And in the next few moments, as we go to prayer, help us as your people to make decisions about what we're going to believe and what we're going to live. And if there's one among us who's lost today, God, give them the courage to humble themselves and pray, to seek your face, to turn from their sin and be saved by Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As she begins to play, the altar is open. What about you? You can pray right where you are, but you can come down here. Let's go ahead and stand right there. Yeah. If you're saved, have you been baptized? Come. You're saved, you're baptized. Are you walking with God? If you got a struggle, let me pray with you. Come.
I see broken.
No created being is going to fulfill you as you think it ought to be, except Jesus. Being married, being unmarried, doesn't guarantee happiness. Only Christ does.
There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy.
How about you?
You wash me in mercy. I am clean.
How about a fresh start with a new heart today?
There's nothing too dirty.
Maybe that's all you need, is just a fresh start.
That you can't make worthy.
To set aside the mess of the past and start afresh today. That's possible. If you'll just come and pray and lay it at Jesus' feet, forgiveness is available. Strength is available. Healing is available. Christ are a new creature. The old things do pass away. And all becomes new.
Piece by piece.
Every head bowed.
There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy.
Just say something. Just pray something like, it's me, Lord.
Mercy.
You know me. You know my mess. I'm surrendering my mess to you.
There's nothing too dirty that you can't make
a fresh
worthy.
And anew. That's you today.
You wash
if you'll
me
let God have it.
Mercy. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean.
Our Father and our God, thank you for the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. Thank you, God, for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God that sets our value above rubies and riches, that tells us we are precious in your sight. Father, thank you for these things that dispel lies. And Father, as we embrace them each day, Father, let us walk with a new testimony, a new purpose, a new joy that the world has no concept of. As you have promised, we believe and we say thank you, for we know it's true. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.